Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, it's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. We all know sleepers can win you championships, but finding these guys takes time. That's where the Sleeper King comes in. Let me do all the research so you don't have to. Every week, I'm going to break down which sleepers you need to pick up off the waiver wire and which surprise deep sleepers could help you win the week. Every episode, just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
From the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
Well, my friend Barry Odom is no longer going to be my friend, unfortunately. I hate losing friends. But it looks like reports are out this morning that he's going to be the next coach at Purdue. Wow. Former Missouri coach. What a great guy he is. Of course, I'm kidding about that. I love Barry Odom. As an Indiana alum, I will playfully enjoy that rivalry with him. And I'm excited for him and excited for today, college football. You know, yesterday as an Indiana alum, I just kind of sat back and enjoyed the day. I was in and out watching the football games. Didn't feel one ounce of stress because I knew Indiana's going to be in the playoff today. Some may argue that, but that's fine. We're just happy to be here. We'll play on the road, neutral, home. I don't care where. I really do not care where they play as long as they're playing on December 20th or 21st. And it looks like they are projected as a 7-10 game against Notre Dame is what most are projecting. We're going to find out in an hour when the college football bracket is revealed. After yesterday's games, a lot still kind of hanging out there, though. The big decision will be, do they include SMU or do they include Alabama? The case can be made for SMU after having a tremendous year. They lost the ACC title game last night on a kickoff return that went awry. They never defend things that poorly, it doesn't seem, in special teams, but they had at the absolute worst time something go poorly against them. And then Clemson booted a 56-yard field goal to beat them. And they are the ACC champions, the Clemson Tigers. SMU had not lost since September 6th before that loss last night. And that loss was 18-15 against BYU. So you have to go all the way back to September 6th. Not a bad loss at all to BYU, a team that was in contention all season long, ultimately will not be after losing some late games in the Big 12. But that's where SMU sits now, hoping that they can get in as an at-large. Clemson does get in because they're the ACC champion, but they can't get a bye. Then the other question is, does Alabama deserve a spot? Now, the SEC has a lot of muscle and a lot of influence. And will they push somehow the committee to put Alabama in? They're trying to make their case. Ole Miss is hollering too, and so is South Carolina and everybody else in the ACC. They think they should be in. Not everybody can get in. But does Alabama deserve to be in just because they're Alabama? They've got a great brand. We kind of went through this last year. They got in, but that was 4. This is 12 now. And Alabama could very well be put in the bracket because of their overall brand. Now, their resume, they have some really nice wins, you have to admit. You can focus on the losses first. They lost to Vanderbilt and they lost to Oklahoma, and they got crushed at Oklahoma. They also lost, you know, when you look across the league, let's just say this. When you look across football, it is hard to win. And Alabama learned that the hard way. They lost to Vanderbilt. They lost to Oklahoma. They also lost at Tennessee. That is not a bad loss whatsoever. They also beat Georgia. And now that Georgia is the SEC champion, that win definitely helps them and is something that the committee is going to be talking about probably down to the final minute here. Although I'd assume here at 10:10 Central Time that they have this thing wrapped up. But Alabama would have a case there. Even with three losses, they could make the case that, hey, we lost to Tennessee, we beat Georgia, and yes, we lost to Vanderbilt, but they turned out to be not a bad team, and the one that hurts them is at Oklahoma at night, which they would say, you know, that was a bad one for us, but it is Oklahoma at night, blah, blah, blah. Alabama will do anything to get in here. They'll make the case anyway. Me, personally, I don't know. I think this is one year where you got to keep Alabama out. I think SMU earned it. But SMU lost last night with a chance to get in. So it is a toss-up between the two, and we'll see where it goes. And whoever gets in there, it's going to be interesting. You're going to be paired in there with Notre Dame and Indiana and Tennessee and Ohio State and Penn State and Texas. And, you know, there's some others that are going to make some noise, I think. Your byes are going to be, of course, 1 through 4. You'll have Oregon 1. They won the Big Ten. Georgia 2. They won the SEC. Boise State 3. They won the Mountain West. And Arizona State 4. They won the Big 12. And those are rightfully so. Clemson's going to get in now as an 11 or a 12 because they won the ACC. So sorting it all out is not the easiest thing, but that's what the committee has to do, and we are going to find out in about an hour the entire thing. And at that time, Eli Drinkwitz is going to join us, the head coach of the Missouri Tigers. Eli is not going to be in the playoff, but at 9-3, he's had a very fine season, is going to play in a really good bowl against a very respectable opponent. So we'll hear about all the things that he's doing in recruiting as well to build that program. He's at 11:15. At 10:15, in just a few minutes, Tom Hart from Mizzou Arena. The Tigers are getting ready to play Kansas. The number one team in the nation is in the house. They are ready to go, and they'll be playing in Columbia against their rival, the Tigers. They are 6.5-point favorites to beat Missouri this afternoon. At 10:30, Earl Austin Jr., the Billikens analyst, the Billiken Hall of Famer, the Missouri Sports Hall of Famer, will be with us, the radio analyst, at 10:30 to talk about SLU and Chicago State. They play today at 2 o'clock. At 10:45, Blues general manager Doug Armstrong will be with us live. The Blues lost last night at Edmonton 4-2, but they are playing well overall with Coach Jim Montgomery, and we'll talk to Army about that. Eli Drinkwitz at 11:15. John Mozeliak from the winter meetings in Dallas at 11:30 has agreed to join us, and we look forward to our regular visit with him resuming at 11:30. And then to wrap it all up, a great conversation set at 11:45 with Bernie Miklas. Cannot wait for this show. It's a great lineup of guests, and we'll bring it all to you right after this.
He hits a slammer!
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Billikens win! Billikens win!
Once again, from the Stiefel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
For those of you watching our live stream on social media, and we've got a big viewership right now, we always appreciate that big show here. I do have a suit on. It is being noted by our comments and folks. And yes, I'm calling the game today on TV. Billikens play Chicago State, and calling the game in Columbia is ESPN's Tom Hart. It is great to be back with him. Tom, thank you so much for taking a few minutes on what I know is a busy time over there at Mizzou Arena. How are you? Tom Hart, you hear me? Yeah, we've lost Tommy. Drew, let's reconnect with Tom Hart, see if you can get him. That's no big deal. He is calling the game today, Mizzou and Kansas, a 6.5-point spread in that game. And Kansas is the number one team in the nation, but they will be facing a raucous crowd today at Mizzou Arena. You can count on that. Missouri is, I think, a team that more people should be talking about than they are, and me included. You know, I know that we talk a lot about what's going on with SLU here. Illinois has captured everyone's attention as a very good team, even though they lost to Northwestern. They are one of the better defensive efficient teams in the country, and they're going to be very tough. But this Missouri team is good. They just dropped 98 points on Cal, and we're joined by Tom Hart, who's going to be watching them play Kansas. How are you, Tom? Maybe Tom can't hear us. It's very possible. It could be an issue on our end with our board. Go ahead and take him away there, Drew, and we'll try it one last time if you can work some magic. And otherwise, and by the way, that doesn't bode well for all of our phone guests if they can't hear us. So we'll have to figure that out. But like I was saying, Missouri's good. I mean, they've got a real chance. Tom, can you hear us now? All right, you'll have to figure that out, Drew. If we can't get our phone guest to hear us, we got an issue. It could be just on his end. Well, let's say bye to Tom and thank him very much for me, if you would. He's at Mizzou Arena. Busy time over there. Tigers taking on the Jayhawks. But let me preview the game from my perspective, if you can. And I'm going to give you as honest a feel on this as I can. Kansas is very, very good. And Kansas is, what they're going to do is, you know, something that maybe you know, what we haven't seen in the past from them. They do love to shoot the three. They have in the past, but this team is big and strong, and they've got their big man underneath in Hunter Dickinson. He is over 7 feet. He's an absolute monster in there. He's terrific at scoring underneath the basket. He can score away from the basket, but he's very good at those little Mike and drill type buckets, you know, those little reverse layups, little hook shots, little layups underneath. He doesn't miss those. He's averaging 14.5 per game, 9 rebounds per game. He'll block some shots too. Zeke Mayo is a really good shooter. He shoots from three, but other than that, they don't really shoot the three a ton. They will pound you inside, and I'm curious if Missouri has the size and ability to stop them from that perspective. We know Missouri can score from the outside, and they can shoot the trifecta without question. I know that we have a really good feel here when it comes to what Mizzou's Dennis Gates has in the future. He's got a great recruiting class coming. He has a great recruiting class currently. But the big question is, does he have a team right now that can compete in the SEC and certainly that can compete in a primetime slot against Kansas? We're going to find out. I went last year to see Kansas play in a raucous atmosphere at Indiana and a similar situation where Indiana was, I think, you know, a little bit shorthanded, but also a little bit up against it in terms of talent level on the floor. But the crowd really urged them on. And in the end, Kansas won the game by 4 because they're just a better team. And they also have the experience, Dickinson especially, in playing in big raucous atmospheres. It does not bother him for 1 second, nor does it bother Bill Self, who's won 802 games in his career. So it should be fun. I look forward to this one. It's Mizzou and Kansas. It's going to be a noon start on ESPN2. We just couldn't, Drew, what Tom Hart told me is that he heard us the entire time, but he was not able, when he was talking, we weren't hearing him. So whatever reason that was, the phone connection just didn't work. But we appreciate Tom's time, no doubt about it. I want to let him get back to work because he's calling the game on TV. But I know he did want to come on and join us, but we just couldn't make the phone connection. Missouri and Kansas at noon. Now, coming up, it's SLU and Chicago State at 2. We are going to have the pregame at 1:45, but Earl Austin Jr. is going to join us here very shortly at 10:30. We also are keeping an eye on college football and all of the things that happened to make this college football playoff announcement somewhat complicated and a bracket that will be revealed that is going to make people upset. Here's my thing on it before we take a break and go to Earl on this college football playoff. The one chance they have to expand the playoff and to continue to bring in fans, and they're doing fine. Bringing in college football fans is one thing, but the casual sports fan has now taken more of an interest, I think, in college football because these teams are more in the race towards the end of the year and there's a lot more intrigue. Could you make it any more complicated for people to understand? I mean, do you have to give a bye to conference champions who weren't in the hunt a week ago? I mean, Clemson isn't going to get a bye, but they're in the playoff. Arizona State, look, they've been hot. I mean, they've been playing really well, but they suddenly vault all the way into a bye in the college football playoff because the way that it's structured is the conference champion of the top 4 ranked conferences gets a bye. I mean, Georgia, I understand they rallied back and won the SEC championship. Oregon, of course, has a clean sheet, a great record, perfect, and they beat Penn State in that shootout yesterday. But Boise State and Arizona State are getting a bye. I'm not necessarily complaining about that, but what's going to happen is these rankings will come out. They're going to rank them 1 through 12, and then they're going to seed them differently. And then fans of other teams can be like, wait a minute, how come we don't go here, and why don't we get in there, and we beat this team and they beat that team? Arguments are one thing, but I feel like they complicated this thing by making the conference tournament or conference game champion getting a bye. Just seems kind of odd and sort of a stumble to the finish after what has been a crazy fun season. You should just seed them 1 through 12. Like, how hard is that? If you win your conference, you get in. But you don't have to get a bye because of that. I mean, you just seed them and just let it rip. And by the way, I'd expand it even further. I'd go 16 teams and do a classic Sweet 16. I mean, it works for basketball. Why does this have to be such a complicated issue? I don't know. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll hear from Earl Austin Jr., the analyst for St. Louis University. Doug Armstrong at 10:45. Eli Drinkwitz at 11:15. John Mozeliak at 11:30. Bernie Miklas at 11:45. This is Sports on a Sunday Morning, sponsored by Gray Bar. We're in the Stiefel Sports Studio, and we'll be right back. Good to be back with you. We're joined by Billiken Hall of Famer and recently Missouri Sports Hall of Famer, Earl Austin Jr. on KMOX. Good morning, Earl.
Morning, TA. How are you today?
I'm doing well, buddy. We were just visiting with Tom Hart, who's calling the Mizzou KU game, but his phone was not agreeing with us inside Mizzou Arena. As you can imagine, it is getting very busy over there. He's calling the game. So before we talk Billikens, can I ask you for a one answer analysis here on Mizzou KU? How do you see that one as they tip off at noon today?
It's going to be exciting, no doubt about it. It'll be interesting because KU is now coming off a loss to Creighton in Omaha. And they're coming in probably with a little extra focus. I think Mizzou, the one game I watched was last week where they fell behind the Cal and made a great comeback, down 15 at halftime and scored, 66 in the second half. So I think it's going to be very competitive. I think the last time KU was there was 2 years ago when Mizzou was 9-0 and riding high, and KU came in there and beat them up pretty good. So I expect a wild atmosphere, and it should be a fun day at Como today.
No doubt. Anytime Bill Self walks through the tunnel, that is a crazy day inside that building. And Mizzou and KU will hook up at noon. And then once you're done watching that, you can flip over to KMOX because Earl Austin Jr. will be calling the game with Bob Ramsey. It's just one of those great basketball days. It'll be SLU and Chicago State. Where do you see SLU at the moment? Obviously dealing with some injuries and some health issues, Earl.
That's the main thing right now. Obviously 5-3 and coming off a tough loss in San Francisco, but just getting everybody healthy at once. We haven't had that all season. It started when Robbie got hurt. Avila got hurt during the preseason and missed a month of preseason, then came back and got hurt in the very first game against Santa Clara. And now he's back, fighting his way back. But now Kellen is playing hurt with the cramp issues. Larry Hughes is out with the back. And now we got some guys who are, A.J. Casey's out, and then we got some guys who are under the weather. So it's a battle. You just got to kind of soldier through because, the late, great Charlie Spoonhauer said, he goes, nobody else cares about your problems. So we just got to suit it up and get ready to play Chicago State today and hopefully get healthy for the rest of the non-conference and then obviously a conference season, which is most important.
It is, and I think that the A-10 is pretty well stacked, at least towards the top, isn't it, Earl? I mean, who do you have there? VCU, Dayton obviously is off to a great start. St. Joseph should be really good. Can SLU hang with those teams?
Well, that's the main thing. If we can get healthy and we got, three guys at the top, obviously Robbie Gibson and Isaiah, it gives you an opportunity. But as you said, Dayton looked real good at the Maui Classic, although 1-2, a big win against Connecticut. Rhode Island and Arch Miller is really going well. They're 9-0. They beat Providence last night as well. VCU is always good. Loyola Chicago, they're going to be good. St. Joe's, yeah. So it's going to be a much more competitive A-10 slate from top to bottom. So I think we get everybody healthy and continue to develop, I think we'll be in the mix somehow, but we just got to get everybody right.
Got to get everybody healthy. There's no doubt about that. Yeah. I think that one of the keys to this thing is the development and obviously the health of A.J. Casey. He is one of those players I think they're going to need in the A-10. Do you agree with that? Even though we've seen this rotation without him, I got to think he's included if he's healthy.
Well, I think a key is, like you say, you need that added size. You know, right now it's basically Robbie and Kalu, and then we're kind of small after that. So AJ at 6'9", and he's got that athleticism. He can shoot it a little bit. Yeah, somebody else with some size. Because you know, there are going to be some games where Robbie may get in the foul trouble, Kalu gets in the foul trouble. That added size is going to have to come into play once you face, you know, some of these real good, big athletic teams in our league.
How do you view the returnees here in Kellen Thames and Larry Hughes in terms of health, in terms of effectiveness? Let's start with Thames and what you know, what you understand about the cramping issues he's endured.
Don't know a whole lot about it, but it's been an issue now for the past 4 or 5 games. I think Fred Fetch may have gone through something similar a few years back, but I'm not sure. But it's tough because Kellen really was playing tremendous basketball coming out of the gate. He was averaging about 15 points, 8 rebounds. He's a great athlete. He plays with a tremendous motor. And so since the cramping has come up, it's kind of limited him to 15 minutes a game. And, you know, when healthy, he is kind of that fourth or fifth guy that you really didn't have to run a play for, but he's going to get a lot done because he's so active and so athletic around the basket. And we can get that full health of Kellen back. That would really help us immeasurably.
And Hughes, a couple of games ago, got hit in the midsection and then got up and I think returned. And then in practice, he gets hit on the other side of his body, his tailbone, if I'm not mistaken, in a fall.
Yes.
So he's out today, isn't he?
Yeah, I believe he's out today. It'll be his second game missed. And what we miss with Larry is that shooting. You know, obviously he's got that length and that defense, but that ability to shoot the ball and come off the bench and give you a little bit of offense as well. And, I think his coming back has to be big because one of our other guards, Josiah Dutzler, tore his ACL. He's out for the season. He was a potential starter. He was starting to play a lot and get into the flow. And then he went down with a ACL injury. So we definitely need Larry back to provide that perimeter shooting that he's pretty good at.
This is unbelievable. The last time I remember the Billikens dealing with so many absences was during COVID. I mean, I can't remember them being without this many people.
Yeah, it's a test, no doubt about it. A lot of adversity, so we just got to battle through it, and hope guys can just kind of work their way back in the lineup, and then once we get somebody, nobody else falls off by the wayside, and hopefully by the conference season we'll have everybody as healthy as they're going to be, and then we can move forward, and then I think that's when you can really make a true judgment on what this team can be moving forward.
This is a very calm, confident coach in Josh Schertz. I really have enjoyed being around him, both at Indiana State and now here at St. Louis University. I've always found him to be fascinating. He does not take anything seriously except basketball. Everything else, he is fun and lighthearted. This is a test for him, I believe, of not, you know, flying off the handle here and getting frustrated with all the injuries and things that are happening.
Well, yeah, I remember, like I said, he's used to building things. You know, he did it at Lincoln Memorial at the Division II level, and then at Indiana State, he did the same thing. Well, they won 3 games his first year there, and by year 3, they won 32 and went to the NIT Finals and was playing, you know, had one of the most exciting teams to watch playing basketball. So, yeah, this is kind of the same thing. I know there's a lot of excitement and rightly so, but like you said, with the injuries and you know you got some tough early losses to Wichita, and then the other night you're kind of back to kind of building and developing again. So I don't think it's no need to panic. I can remember a day where we had a Hall of Fame coach and we scored 20 points in a game against George Washington.
Oh, I remember
Rick Majerus. Yeah, and couple of years later, we saw how that turned out as well. So once again, like I say, it's part of the, you know, she's used to growing pains of trying to build once again. And I think that's what we're seeing right now as well.
Earl Austin Jr. is with us on KMOX. Let's talk about some good new faces. And that, of course, we mentioned Robbie Avila and we mentioned Kalu Anya, who is a rebounding machine. And I think even more than that, he can score, he can pass. He's got unbelievable effort. I love this player. And then, of course, Isaiah Swope. Isaiah Swope was picked as third team A-10. I think that will change when this season is over. He is one of the most explosive scorers I have ever seen in a Billiken uniform.
It really is fun to watch. You know, at 5'10", but he's just so quick and so explosive, as you said. Great burst with the ball, but he can get to the rim, but then he can also pull up and score from 20, 25 feet from the basket. So when he's on, he really, really could put on a show. We call it the Swope Show now. And I think he was like the mid-major madness player of the week. And he was also the Lute Olsen player of the week. So he's going to be fun to watch for this next year. And obviously Robbie speaks for himself. Now that he's getting back healthy, you see the size and the skill set and his passing ability. And he can shoot the three and kind of just tremendous, multi-dimensional big man, kind of what we're seeing throughout the game of basketball. Like I say, Kalu, great effort. Like you say, rebounding, high motor, averaging about 10, 11 rebounds a game, and just a lot of fun to watch as well. And probably the one, and obviously not a newcomer, but probably the highlight of this early part of the season, obviously what happened the other night in our loss with Gibson Jimerson, breaking the school scoring record by Anthony Bonner, which stood for 35 years or something like that. And Gibson, to see him break it, to watch how he's kind of rewarded for his hard work as a Billiken. And he'll go over 2,000 soon, and just been a tremendous player to watch over the course of his career.
No kidding. He'll be it'll be tough to catch him when he's done in terms of scoring. Of course, a sixth-year player certainly aids him in that respect, but I love the respect that Bonner and others have given to Jimerson. And on top of that, I anticipate today will be special. I have to think that they will do something very special for Gibson inside the arena today.
Right. I think one of the reasons why they respect him, you know, not because they know he played the extra year or so, but the fact that he remained a Billiken. You know, he, in this NIL and this portal deal, he could have, with the coaching change, he could have easily walked. Just like, you know, when there's a coaching change, usually everybody leaves. But he stayed here and wanted to remain a Billiken. And I think that garners you a lot of respect as well. And he was able to break records and continue on with his great career here in St. Louis.
And finally, speaking of respect, last thing for Earl Austin Jr. is how much we respect you being part of our family and how proud we were to see you and Jim Jackson sitting next to each other at the Chase a couple of Sundays ago at the Missouri Sports Hall of Fame banquet. What an incredible time that had to have been. Unbelievably special for you up there.
It really was. I really had a wonderful time, and I still want to thank the Missouri Hall of Fame for Sports Hall of Fame for that honor. It was a tremendous ceremony, and the fact that I was really more happy for Jim Jackson. The fact it was ironic that we were sitting next to each other, because we've been sitting next to each other for over three decades now. He's been taking care of me and Rammer, and he's been taking care of all of us in the announcing booth, broadcast booth, like that. So that was even more exciting to be able to share that particular honor with Jim, because he does so much for so many of us behind the scenes. But yeah, it is a lot of fun too. It was a great event.
And Earl, your work with the St. Louis American is not only important in our city's history, but also second to none. And I just am so happy for you and proud of you.
Well, thank you. I'm really proud of our St. Louis American family, and just proud to be a small part of the great impact that they have had in our community for a century now almost.
I can't wait to see you today. Have a great call. I will wave to you from across the floor.
All right. You take it easy. Look forward to seeing you again, always.
All right. Thank you. Earl Austin Jr. He'll have the call today as the Billikens take on Chicago State at 2 o'clock right here on KMOX. Our Billiken Report is sponsored by Royal Banks of Missouri. When we come back, we'll be joined by Blues General Manager Doug Armstrong. Stay tuned. This is Sports on a Sunday Morning on KMOX. 10:48, great to have you with us on KMOX, and we welcome in live the General Manager of the St. Louis Blues, Doug Armstrong, the President of Hockey Operations. Good morning, Army. It's great to have you back. How are you?
I'm very good. How are you today?
I'm doing great. I look forward to seeing you next Monday the 16th. You are going to be presenting our Legends Award winner at the Jack Buck Awards. He is none other than Hockey Hall of Famer Ken Hitchcock. And what a treat it will be to hear Hitch speak to the Blues fans once again.
Oh, yeah, it's always great when Ken comes back into town. He's got such a great resume, but also a great storyteller, so it should be an excellent evening.
It is a fun time, no doubt about it. I love emceeing it and seeing all of you up there, and we're going to have an absolute blast. And also in the house will be Jim Montgomery, the head coach of the Blues, and it reminded a lot of people of the move that you made when Davis Payne was relieved of his duties, and you hired Ken to take over the Blues. You had an opportunity to get him. He was working with Columbus, and one of the elite coaches in the game took over behind your bench. Do you see it a similarity with Jim Montgomery?
Yeah, there certainly are some correlations that even an experienced coach that has an excellent resume becomes available, and you want to move forward with it. And both coaches, I thought, could help younger players get better and veteran players get maximized where they're going. And also feeling that they could be here as we grew, Ken fit that bill, and so does Jim. So I thought it was a synergy with our group was going to be good, and we acted.
I have been asked this a lot, so I'll ask the man who made the move. What has been the difference? Well, from what I can tell, and from what I hear behind the closed doors, there's more harmony and you know, just overall good feelings, and that does happen when you win some games, but also just an aggressiveness and, you know, more accountability perhaps from everybody up and down the roster. Do you feel that under Montgomery?
Yes, but I think you always feel that under a new coach. You know, I think what we talk about internally is like, let's as we're in the honeymoon phase and it's kumbaya all around, let's make sure we're building a foundation, because that's going to wear off. And when that wears off, we want to be able to continue to grow and have something that we can build off of. But right now, the guys have a pep in their step, and they're playing good hockey, and we just have to continue that. But, you know, I think they call it the dead cat bounce. Everybody gets that, but at some point, that goes away, and I just have a lot of faith that Jim's going to be able to guide us when that emotional part is gone and the day-to-day work is there to do every day.
Yeah, the big picture, absolutely. Instead of making determinations in the short term, what is the big picture identity, Doug Armstrong? What do you want the Blues to be here, aside from champions, of course? What do you want them to look like over the next, let's say, 2, 3, and 5 years under Jim Montgomery?
Yeah, I think what we want to do is have a good 200-foot foundation. We want to be able to play the games in many different ways. Like when you're core or leading players, top players are feeling good, those nights are great. You know, the puck just seems to follow them around. You know, they just have that extra little mojo. But what you want to do, or what we'd like to see, is just have a foundation where our floor is closer to our ceiling. What you don't like is when your good games are good, but your bad games are awful. And what we need to do is get a really strong plan B every night, and I think that's what Jim can do. But what we want to do is be a strong, competitive team, a team that plays 60 minutes every night, a team that understands how the value of the blue lines, the value of clock management, the value of playing for each other. And those things, once they're ingrained, you can have a bad puck night, but if that stuff's there, it covers up a lot of the other stuff.
I had a coach in another sport. I love the term floor because it really is important when it comes to team sport. A coach in another sport told me, he goes, think of it in golf. So if your floor is that you shoot 90 on a bad day or in the 80s on a bad day, you're a pretty good player. If your floor is that you shoot 100 on a bad day, you're not a good player. I mean, you got to get your floor to a better number. And when you look at any sport, that does make sense, doesn't it? If you're having a bad day and you're the St. Louis Blues, you got to find a way to remain competitive in that game, even if things are misfiring.
Yeah, and Mike Keene, who I work with in Dallas, and I consider a friend, had said this to me. We were talking a while ago, and his belief was just because the plan A doesn't work doesn't mean you have to lose. And so you have to have a plan B, and that plan B has to be sustainable. And that is getting the most out of the game when it's not there for you, and understanding the nights that the puck's not your friend and you have to do the right things, understanding the meaning of being, in a tie game in the third period, when to take risk, when not to take risk, play for the guy beside you, protect the goalies. And a lot of the things that I think, we that have happened, not just recently, but the things that bother you as a manager is when you're, let's say you're down 4-1 in a game, and as a manager, you want to protect the goalie, you want to get out of that game 4-1, and then players start to take chances, and all of a sudden it's 6 or 7 or 8 to 1, and that really bothers you, because when you people are judged on stats, and all of a sudden, you lose a game 4-1, the goals against and the save percentage takes a hit. But when you lose it 7-8 to 1, it gets crucified. and it's like a plus minus too. It just, just understanding and playing for another day and doing things the right way. And those things that are, they're boring, players don't want to do them, but those are winning habits and winning traits.
Just a couple minutes left with Doug Armstrong. So just two more questions, if I can. One is Justin Falk. So he was back in the lineup, and was he okay? Well, he logged 25 minutes. That was more than anybody else. So not a bad return, I would say. Everything good there?
Yeah. I think what we tell the players when you're ready to play, you have to be ready to play. We saw that with Buchnevich and Thomas. They train so well. These guys are such finely tuned machines that when they come back in, they want to play Broberg the same way. But yeah, when these guys are ready to go, the coach has to put the guys out on the ice that give us the best chance to win on any given shift and any given night. And Falk's one of those players that logged those minutes prior to the injury, and he's going to log them now that he's back.
And we heard the good news about Colton Parayko and Jordan Binnington, who are going to be representing their nation. How about Snuggerud and Dvorsky, who have had some big games recently? And Dvorsky, it was just announced, is going to be among the Blues prospects heading to the World Juniors in Ottawa after Christmas. Doug?
Yeah, I'm really excited for him. He's been there multiple times, and this is his last opportunity to represent his country at this level. The next time he'll do it will be there either at the World Championships or the Olympics. So it's a great opportunity for him not only to be an A player for his team, but also counted on a leadership role. And, I think we could have upwards of at a minimum probably 6 and a maximum 9 guys in the World Junior, which is going to be very impressive for our organization. And it just solidifies our vision of where what we're trying to do is stay competitive now and build for the future. And we're in lots of games right now, but having young players that are going to play in that World Junior, and Snuggy is not available for that. He's a year out, but I expect him in an NHL jersey by the end of this season. And so our future is looking good. Dvorsky's playing really good in the American Hockey League. I think that team has got points in, I think, 10 out of their last 12 and are on a little bit of a roll right now. We have good play from lots of different guys. So there's a lot of positives away from St. Louis and about our organization.
No doubt about it. And look forward to seeing those two wearing the blue note at some point. And look forward to seeing you next week. Good luck Tuesday night at Vancouver. We appreciate the visit very much.
Always a pleasure coming on the show, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you. Doug Armstrong, the president of hockey operations, general manager of the St. Louis Blues, joining us on KMOX. We always love hanging with him. Coming up next hour, Eli Drinkwitz, John Mozeliak, Bernie Miklas, and, of course, the college football playoff bracket revealed. Don't go anywhere.